Our reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 32, and then chapter 5, verse 2. This is sweet. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, and we have a videotape, I mean not a video, but just a video for Mother's Day. Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Today we're celebrating all the women in our lives who have served us, raised us, loved us, taught us, and ultimately mothered us, even if they were not our birth moms. And we want to take a second and just say thank you to all the wonderful ways that you have poured yourself into us and who hold special places in our hearts. We're grateful for your service and just all the ways that you have meant so much to each of us, for the ways that you have helped shape us into who we are today. And with that in mind, we're going to talk about this idea of how the ways that we choose to live our lives for Jesus, how that can have an incredibly impactful, just an amazing way how it just can impact people, sometimes in surprising, unintentional ways. Well, growing up, you know, did you have a teacher or a youth leader? Or in my case, it was a couple of women, each from a different church that my dad pastored, who kind of adopted me as one of their grandchildren. Did you have someone like that in your life? An adult outside of your immediate family that you knew you could trust to go to, and they would go the extra mile for you? You know, for me, those people, one was Mrs. Butler. You know, when my dad was pastoring in Gardner, Maine, she was that person for me in my preschool and early elementary years. And then it was Mrs. Pratt when we were in North Waldoboro and in my upper middle elementary years. And then there was Mabel Smith at Pataskala, Ohio, during my junior high and high school years. These women, they played a huge role in my day-to-day life as a kid. You know, I'm the oldest in my family, and in my early elementary years when my parents were swamped with my younger siblings and doing a bunch of church stuff often, you know, these were the women who would step in and be a part of my life. You know, when my parents had church events or they just were busy with other work-related stuff, these women would step in and they'd watch me as a youngster, or they were just there as an adult to listen and be a positive presence in my life when my parents weren't able to be there. And you know, these women, they looked after me and they would serve me in various ways and just ways that I needed when I was a youngster. And I remember, you know, going over to Mrs. Butler's home, you know, sometimes to spend the night when I was really young. And she lived right off of a lake, and in the summer I'd get to go swimming there at her house. And then it was Mrs. Pratt, and she was a retired pastor's wife, Reverend Pratt. He had this really cool wood shop, and it was just full of furniture that he had made, and lamps, and all these kids' toys that he made. And then she had this pump organ that was fun to play with, and they had a pond full of frogs and ducks that lived in their barn. And it was always a great adventure whenever I got to go over to her place. And then there was Mabel Smith. When we moved to Ohio, she lived in the manufactured home community right by the church parsonage. And she would encourage me at church and invite me to come over to her place for a snack and just to be able to talk. And, you know, she was always the one to be the highest bidder to have me come work at her place. When the teens had what we called a slave auction, you know, they'd bid on how much they'd pay for an hour, and you'd come and do these jobs to help pay for a youth event, you know. You'd probably have to call it something else today, but that's what they called it as a youngster when I was a teenager. And she was just a great example of a grandmother figure who loved Jesus and loved me and adopted me as one of her grandsons. At the time, these ladies might have thought that they were just helping their pastor's family here and there. But what they were actually doing was they were modeling what it looks like to love people well as a woman of service. Mrs. Butler, Mrs. Pratt, and Miss Mabel, you know, as well as several other ladies that I didn't mention, you know, they had a lasting impact on my life. Can you see in your own mind's eye those people in your life who just have invested in you over the years, especially when you were younger? I imagine if we had time, we could just go around the room and share story after story after story of people who have invested in you and made a lasting impact on you as they have done things for you in your life. You know, Mary, who was sister to Lazarus, and Martha, she left a lasting impact on her community by the way she loved and served Jesus. So I'm going to take a look at this passage in John chapter 12. We'll start with the first three verses. It said, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor, and Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made of the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. Now, before we dive into Mary's fragrant and generous offering to Jesus, let's talk about the context, the kind of the background of what's going on in this text. Jesus told us very clearly that this event was 6 days before the Passover. And so the timeline is important because it was the week before Jesus was crucified. Jesus had come to Bethany where he had previously raised Lazarus from the dead. And Jesus was invited as the guest of honor to this dinner. And most likely that's what they were celebrating, Lazarus' miraculous event of being in the grave and now he's alive. And when the supper was hosted by Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And here's the first point, the way that we live our lives, it leaves a lasting impact on people. Now we have some context. Let's talk about Mary's fragrant offering. Scripture says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it. The idea of washing your house guest feet at a dinner party today might not really go over very well. I don't know if I'd add it to the things that you're going to do at that party, but back then it was not uncommon to wash a guest's feet when they entered your home. It wasn't something strange at all. It was an act of hospitality. It was an act of love. You know, they didn't have the socks and shoes that we have today to keep our feet clean. They walked everywhere. The same places that donkeys and horses walked with just sandals on their feet. So I put a picture in there kind of what their feet might have looked like before they were washed. And so when, you know, these people's feet got really dirty and probably pretty smelly as well. And so when you went to someone's home, it was customary to have your feet washed. It was something the lowest or the youngest servant of the house usually did. Mary washing Jesus' feet was a humble offering. The only strange thing about what Mary did was that she washed Jesus' feet during the middle of the dinner. And she used expensive oils and perfume. And one thing I think that's so beautiful about this passage is that something fragrant was used. When you pour out a fragrance as strong as nard in a room, it would fill the entire space with that scent. It was so strong and lasting that the scent would linger long after the source was dry. And if you've ever walked by someone at the airport or on the street and gotten a whiff of their cologne or perfume, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you've walked into a bathroom or a kitchen after someone has deep cleaned it, the smell is strong and it just hangs around for a while. Just as Mary's physical act of washing Jesus' feet with perfume was a lasting, fragrant impact, so was Mary's generous acts of service and love that she did for Jesus on this day. Her example in the way that she served Jesus makes an impact on the people around her at this dinner party. And she didn't care what anyone said or whatever they thought. She was extremely generous in her actions. Not only did she lower herself to wash Jesus' feet, but she washed them with her hair. That alone was extremely humble because she had to let her hair down in public, which was something Jewish women rarely ever did. And her sacrifice and humble choices had this lasting impact on the disciples, so much so that we know about it in the Gospels. Actions that last are actions that are done with incredible intentionality. Mary must have known her worship would have been met with some cynicism by some. But like any good woman of service, whether it's a grandmother or a mother or a teacher or a youth leader or a friend, it was a risk that she was willing to take. And so what are some reasons that keep people, whether it's men or women, from sacrificial service, like what Mary did in this passage? You know, the first one is societal judgment and this idea of improper behavior. You know, in our story today, Mary's actions was considered socially scandalous. Letting down your hair was rather improper for them in society's rules, let alone for a woman to touch a religious leader, especially if the woman or the leader was single. It was rather shocking for their time. Today, what might stop a person from serving in this way could be just the fear of being misunderstood or judged or having your motives questioned. Acts of intense physical or emotional service can sometimes be viewed by some people as inappropriate or unprofessional in certain modern contexts. Can you imagine just interrupting a meal with several people from our church to anoint the head and hands of someone who might be going on a dangerous mission trip or moving to a foreign country as a missionary, kind of as a special preparation for their send-off? You know, but doing it without having anyone else know that you're going to do it. Just interrupting what was planned and getting down on your hands and knees in a posture of humility and service. You know, the embarrassment of stepping out and doing something so unfamiliar and culturally different, it easily could keep a person from making such a dramatic impression. It could make you question if it's really what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Are you sure, God, you want me to do this? This could be very embarrassing. This could just interrupt things. I'm not sure that God would want me to do that. And so the voice is silenced instead of being willing to step into that moment. A second reason that might keep someone from sacrificial service is just the high cost of devotion. You know, for Mary, the perfume was worth about a year's wages. just representing a massive financial sacrifice. You know, in modern times, we can also face some economic concerns following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, including the rising cost of living and the need to make financial obligations for our families. You know, doing such a high value person, you know, devoting such a high value resource for one act of service, we can start to question, God, are you sure it's worth this? Are you sure this is what you're asking me to do? You know, fear of this unstable economy and the cost of the act can keep us from saying yes to God and His call to serve. The third one is one that I'm hearing more and more often. It's this idea of burnout. And the do-it-all expectation can keep a person from sacrificial service. You know, people today, we're just juggling multiple high-pressure roles as professionals, as caregivers, and partners, and we just have all these time constraints with our calendars that have very little space for rest for ourselves and the physical and emotional energy that would be required for radical foot-washing style service. Where we're just so depleted in ourselves already, and then God asks us to do this act, and we may be too busy even to hear His voice. But if we hear it, how do we fit it into our schedules? We're so overscheduled and all these things, and we struggle to step into that moment. And then there's also this increasing awareness that constant self-sacrifice can lead to burnout. And burnout certainly is an important thing to consider. And sometimes the perceived need to set boundaries and prioritize self-care can cause us to not go to a self-abandonment type thing where we just decide we're unwilling to serve. You know, we have these boundaries. You know, if I step out of these boundaries, then I'm going to put too much on my schedule, and then I'm going to be going to unhealthy places, so it must not be the Holy Spirit who's asking me to do this because I've got these boundaries. And I've discovered that God often is asking me to step outside of my boundaries to serve. It's what often makes it sacrificial. And all these risks and challenges to serve can cause a person to completely miss out on the blessings that come from a life of service and self-sacrifice. And what is so sad is when you have these boundaries and you say, this is the boundaries God has given me, and then you're asked to step outside it, and we say, no, because I've got these boundaries. You use your God boundaries as an excuse to say no to God. It's so sad when that happens. So this brings me back to the three ladies I mentioned earlier that had such a big impact on my life. They weren't looking for any kind of recognition or payment. They didn't care if it inconvenienced them or if it was something they particularly wanted to do in that moment. They simply chose to show up and serve in a way that marked them. Their actions, it was a fragrance that hung in the air. How many people will remember because they showed up and served us? Who are those people like Mary who have done something humble for us that we'll never forget? The way we live our life for Jesus and for others, it truly matters. It truly matters. The way we live our lives, it can make such a lasting impact on others. But the second point is this: living a life of Jesus will come at a cost. So let's look at the rest of this passage of how Mary's actions came at a cost for her. Starting in John 12, verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said that perfume was worth a year's wages. It could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself, which is fascinating to me that Jesus put him in charge of the money knowing that he was a thief, but that's a whole other sermon. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." You know, right away we see how Judas was confused and disturbed that Jesus, Mary would pour an entire jar of oil on Jesus' feet of all places. And honestly, I can kind of understand where he's coming from. He argued these oils were an entire year's wage. The money could have been given to the poor. It could have been used for so much greater things than washing someone's feet. Some researchers say nard was so expensive because this aromatic oil had been imported from India as far back as King Solomon's reign in 950 BC. And because nard was undiluted, it was one of the most expensive perfumes in the world. It was called nardinium. And so Mary's use of this fine oil was definitely uncommon and something most people would see as just an extravagant waste, especially if it was used on a guest's dirty feet. And that is exactly what the people around Mary was thinking. You know, Mary's gift, it was extreme. It cost Mary a lot to wash Jesus' feet in the way that she chose to do it. Now, the parallel between Judas's reaction and Mary's act of service is kind of interesting here. In just a few days, Judas is going to betray Jesus by handing him over to be crucified for 30 pieces of silver. It's possible that he objected to Mary's gift because he himself felt ashamed by her act of love and his selfless heart and his selfish heart. I wonder even if maybe that was the impulse, the waste, and what I could have got from that. And I can get 30 pieces of silver with this. 30 pieces of silver would have been worth about 25% of the nard that Mary used to anoint Jesus' feet. Mary's actions and sacrifice shine light on Jesus. They honored him. You know, she was not concerned about the financial loss or the public humiliation or the ridicule or loss of reputation. She was only concerned about worshiping her Lord. And I think she might have been one of the few followers of Jesus who paid enough attention to his words to understand that the cross was just around the corner for Jesus. A life with Jesus is not all wonders and miracles. And love can be very costly. Sometimes the sacrificial life of loving people, it costs us. And we know this from the gospel. We know this from the story of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. For any woman who has ever loved and served you well, just know it was an intentional act, and she counted the cost and found you worth it. I recently came across this incredible story of sacrificial love. On May 2nd, 1962, Gladys Kidd placed a dramatic advertisement in the San Francisco Examiner, and it said, "I don't want my husband to die in the gas chamber for a crime he did not commit. I will therefore offer my services for 10 years as a cook, maid, or housekeeper to any leading attorney who will defend him and bring his vindication." Vincent Hollinen, one of San Francisco's best lawyers, saw the advertisement, was moved by what he read, and contacted Mrs. Kidd. He took on the case and won. And the innocent man was cleared of all charges. Afterward, the attorney refused the woman's offer of 10 years of service, saying he was satisfied to have saved an innocent man from death. Gladys loved her husband so much that she was willing to sacrifice her time and her energy for his life. She was essentially giving a part of her life up for his. She was willing to take any job, even a servant's job, that could possibly spare her husband. She was willing to take the risk for a lawyer to simply offer a defense, not as guaranteed freedom. It's just a beautiful example of love costing something. The sacrifice wasn't going to be free. It would have taken something from her. And one of the most touching stories that we hear are stories of humanity is selfless love, where someone just gives on themselves. Narrative of kind-hearted humans helping others with no reward offsets the grimness of news that we hear from the media 24/7, all that negativity, and gives us hope that there is still some good in the world. Yet as Christians, We know a stronger kind of love even than that. A love that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Loving God and loving others are not always free of charge. And to live a life humbly at the feet of Jesus probably is going to cost us. It might cost us friends, or comfort, time, or money. You know, following Jesus is not a smooth path without bumps along the way, but living a life for Jesus is so worth it. Ephesians chapter 5, those first two verses, passage that Patty read for us. Again, it says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. The way we live our lives, it leaves a lasting impact on others. But living a life for Jesus will come at a cost to us. Yet despite the sacrifice, living a life for Jesus is worth it. Again, that last verse is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Live a life filled with love, filled with service, filled with giving of ourselves, following the example of Christ who gave everything for us. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Jesus was and is the ultimate sacrifice. He knew what was coming before He went to that dinner party with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. He knew His death was rapidly approaching in less than a week, and then He'd be facing the cross. He must have already been feeling the pressure and the stress of that, and yet He was willing to go to this dinner party anyway. Most people would not be thinking about socializing and celebrating with others when such torment and pain was quickly approaching. But Jesus showed up selflessly. His presence was like a fragrant offering. The call to action in Ephesians chapter 5 is to walk in love just as Christ loved us. Let's focus on that as Christ loved us just for a moment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says it another way. We love each other because He loved us first. God sent His only Son to earth for each of us. He led a life of ministry and miracles and love and service. And He was tempted but still lived a perfect sinless life. He worshiped God and loved others fully. And we get to experience love on this earth and in heaven because of what His sacrifice was for us on that cross. He died for our sins so that we could live this life of love and service as our example. Because Jesus loved us, we're called to love others, to serve others, to lay ourselves down for others. Mary understood this and lived it out for everyone to see. You know, Jesus modeled what service and ministry can look like. And so because of His life and death, because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can also follow that example of serving others. What a gift that is. You know, we get to go down to the neighbor down the street and help them. We can stand up for those who need us. We get to stand in the gap for those who are hurting. We get to show up for those who we hold dear. Life of service is a life of worship and joy. Our service and sacrifice literally has the power to change someone's life. When we say yes to serving others, we allow God to have this space in our life for Him to work. The Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of us, and as He guides us into these opportunities, as we stay in step with the Spirit, showing us where to go, we get to live this life with Jesus, of being there for other people, and it's always worth it. There's a wonderful poem I came across that captures the heart of a woman of service on this Mother's Day. It says this, she said her hands were ugly, and she tried to hide them too. But in God's sight, 'twas different, for He knew what they could do. They were busy hands for Jesus, doing tasks for him each day. They washed and ironed and sewn and scrubbed in the most willing, cheerful way. They kept a clean and shiny home. They cared for a family and did the humble, homely jobs in a manner sweet to see. They were ready to help others whenever there was a need, and those ready, willing hands of hers were a source of help indeed. She said her hands were ugly, but not so in his dear sight, for they labored for the Master morning, noon, and night. You know, when we choose to labor for the Master, it's always worth the cost, no matter what it is. So today, as we honor all the mother figures around us, I truly want to remember their sacrifice. A faithful mother lives a sacrificial life of service. She gives up her body, her physical space, her time, her mental capacity. Sometimes she has to sacrifice her dreams and plans she once had for her life. To be a mother costs something. It's definitely not free. Motherhood, it takes and takes. Whether you're sacrificing for your own children or you're sacrificing for ones that you've adopted as your own, whether you're a birth mom or a spiritual mom or a grandmother, but the joy and purpose that a mother finds in those that she serves will always make that service worthwhile. It'll make the sacrifices worthwhile. And any way that a woman of service blesses others is something that's worth celebrating today. So as we celebrate the women in our lives, it may be that some of you are grieving your mom or missing your mom. Others may long to become a mother. And so in those circumstances, I pray that the Holy Spirit is present with you. I pray that we see others in a new light, especially as we think back of those who have served us, and that we see opportunities to serve people around us and recognize the service of others. I pray that our love for Jesus leaves a fragrance of abundance wherever we go. I pray that we love Jesus and love others as we go out today, out into the world, back to our routines. I pray that we'll be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love and your sacrifice for us. Thank you for the example of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the examples you've given to our own lives of sacrifice and faithfulness. Thank you for each and every one of the people who have cared for us and led us. Thank you for the mothers who are with us today and the women who are marked us by their love. I ask that your presence be near to each of us. I pray for each person in this room. I pray that they'll experience your closeness and tenderness, especially for anyone who this is a tough day. I pray for new hope and new life in this place. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.